You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll talk to a Stoughton native who has made a living collecting VHS tapes of awkward or bizarre videos and presenting them to appreciative audiences all over the world.
First, as a candidate, Donald Trump took aim at the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. He promoted a plan he called health care reform to make America great again, which promised a repeal of the Affordable Care Act on day one of his administration. Here's Trump a few days before the election speaking in Pennsylvania.
When we win on November 8th, and elect a Republican Congress, we will be able to immediately repeal and replace Obamacare. Have to do it. I will ask Congress to convene a special session so we can repeal and replace.
President Trump went on to say that this would be done very quickly.
Now that he won the campaign, Trump has been quoted saying he might just amend the law. Donna Friedsam joins us now. She's the Health Policy Programs Director of the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute and an expert on government-sponsored health care programs in Wisconsin. Donna, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Good to be with you.
Well, the Affordable Care Act, it's got a lot of pieces, a lot of moving parts, fairly complicated. What would just flat out, first of all, repealing it look like? How much of a drastic change would that be?
Well, it would be quite dramatic. We have in the country over 20 million people that have coverage through various provisions of the Affordable Care Act. And here in Wisconsin, we have 225,000 people who have Obamacare related policies, as well as people who have other coverage that they got via certain provisions linked to Obamacare. So it would really have significant impacts if there was just a straight out repeal vote that happened tomorrow. However, that there's essentially no chance that that's going to happen. So it's not something that we need to worry about.
And now here's a clip of Donald Trump talking to Leslie Stahl on the CBS show 60 Minutes just after the election, talking about components of the Affordable Care Act he would like to see stay in place. Here's a listen.
When you replace it, are you going to make sure that people with preconditions are still covered?
Yes, because it happens to be one of the strongest assets.
You're going to keep that.
Also, with the children living with their parents for an extended period, we're going to...
You're going to keep
very
that.
Very much try and keep that. Adds cost, but it's very much something we're going to try and keep.
Now, that's where it starts to get tricky, isn't it? The pre-existing conditions mandate, you can keep your parents' coverage for a while. But then we had the mandate that was part of what helped pay for all of that. How does that work if we repeal part of it but just keep those parts?
Exactly. The part that's very popular with the American people is the part where insurance companies were not allowed to exclude people based on pre-existing conditions, nor could they price people out of the market based on their pre-existing conditions. As well, people liked the provision that young adults could stay on their parents' policies through age 26. Now, you really can't ask insurance companies to take all comers with whatever conditions they bring unless you assure that insurance companies will get healthy people to enroll as well. It's kind of like asking insurance companies to let homeowners buy home insurance while their house is on fire. It just doesn't work. So the way that the Affordable Care Act functioned was based on a number of interrelated provisions. And what the Republican reformers are now looking at is how to create a new system of coverage that would allow these very popular provisions to remain, but not having the less popular provisions stand while still making it a viable insurance market. And that is a very big challenge. And that's why what President-elect Trump is learning is that it will not be possible on day one of his administration to repeal and replace Obamacare.
What kind of things are Republicans in Congress talking about replacing all or part of the Affordable Care Act with?
So there's various things that may happen. There's certain steps that can be taken over the next several months and, in fact, the next year and are likely to happen. But everything will be very gradual. And before I even get into that, I want to emphasize for your listeners and for consumers that may be thinking what's going to happen to my coverage, that right now the policies and plans that are available through the Affordable Care Act for 2017 remain available for 2017. And so do the premium subsidies, the tax credits that are available. So anyone that needs coverage should be going through the open enrollment period right now. And that open enrollment period will end on January 31st. So if they have a policy right now that ends on December 31st and they need coverage to start on January 1st, people should go to open enrollment right now by December 15th to renew their coverage. And nothing has changed. The plans remain the same. That the same plans that were available before the election are available now, as are the financial subsidies. So that's important for your listeners to know. Having said that, there are various discussions underway about how to change certain provisions. Now, Republican reformers have talked about, you've probably heard about selling insurance across state lines. You've probably heard about going to high deductible health plans that include HSAs, and as well removing some of the financial subsidies and increasing moving high risk people into high risk insurance pools rather than keeping them in the same insurance pool with the rest of the insurance buyers in order to try to make insurance less expensive for younger, healthier people. So those are some of the things they're talking about. And there's a number of plans that are out there. They all differ. But there are two really main plans that people think are going to be the template for reform. One of them comes from House Speaker Ryan, his Better Way plan. And those provisions in the Better Way plan are what many are looking at as how the discussion may proceed over the coming year, and I'm happy to explain how that may go. But I should mention that there are as well other plans out there. There's one from Orrin Hatch of Utah that has a lot of discussion as well, and there's several other plans out there. So it's going to be a challenge over the next months and year for the Republican leadership to coalesce and come to some agreement about what they think is the best way to proceed and then gain enough Democratic votes to pass a replacement bill.
Talking to Donna Friedsam from the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute about the future of health care in America, the Affordable Care Act. And, of course, the Affordable Care Act is just one piece of the puzzle. Medicare, Medicaid, we're already there. They're still there. There's talk of changing some of the benefits to a block grant. Governor Walker has called for that, hoped for that in the past, saying the states would have more flexibility. What are the prospects for something like that? What would it mean?
So a Medicaid block grant differs from the current program in several respects. The current program is structured as an entitlement, which means that enough money becomes available as there are people who are eligible based on the guidelines. So the program grows as the enrollment grows. And it's structured as, this is kind of complex language, but in a counter-cyclical way it works. So the more people need the program, the more the program grows. So in times of economic setback during recession, when people lose their jobs and have lower incomes, generally those are larger number of people that need these kinds of programs. That's when people enroll in the programs more. That's when more federal money becomes available because more people are enrolling, and it's an entitlement to that coverage. And then when the economy improves and more people have other options through employment and the like, they disenroll from the program, the expenditures in the program naturally shrink. So in that way, it's a counter-cyclical program. Under a block grant, states instead would just get a set sum of money based on their historical spending, and it wouldn't change, except it would be tied to some inflationary level that would not be the same as the medical rate of inflation, because the federal government is trying to cut its investment in the program. And that amount of money would not change based on the needs and the demands of the population in terms of enrollment. So in times where there was an economic setback or a recession, as more people enrolled in the program, states would not have any more money from the federal government than they had during economically stronger times. And so they would have to figure out how to reduce expenses in the program.
In a sense, they'd have to ration health care under those conditions.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So as we wrap up, can you talk about what we in Wisconsin in particular should be watching for as changes are made or contemplated to the Affordable Care Act, given the particular ways we've interacted with that legislation?
Right. I think it's going to be really important for us to understand how it's going to affect the hundreds of thousands, really, of people in our state who have enrolled in the Affordable Care Act plans, and almost 90% of those people are getting the premium subsidies that are available through the Affordable Care Act, so they won't be able to afford those plans if those premium subsidies go away. So it's going to be important for us to be listening to how the reform plans will affect people who receive premium subsidies. Currently, the premium subsidies are linked to income, so lower-income people get higher subsidies and higher-income people get less subsidies. A number of the plans don't link the subsidies to income, and so that'll be something to be listening for. In terms of Medicaid block grants, Wisconsin is going to be wanting to pay attention to how large the Medicaid block grant will be, how it will be related to the number of people enrolled in our state, how it will relate, what is the base going to be, where they're going to peg the number related to our historical spending, how will that account for changes in our enrollment, and whether we'll be able to continue to maintain the payment rates to providers if changes in the economy occur. Will we need to be reducing payment rates to providers, cutting services and benefits and the like, or how will we be able to adjust, what kinds of reform plans will the state have for managing that set sum of money?
A lot of questions to watch for in the future. Donna, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's Donna Friedsam, Health Policy Programs Director for the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute, looking at the future of the Affordable Care Act.